long, long time ago, in a faraway land, sounds like I'm going to tell a story then. We had an opportunity to meet a precious, precious brother in the Lord. And Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry had some major influence in this man's life. And he'll tell you about that himself. But I had opportunity to know him and love him and minister with him. And a few years ago, you may remember, I went to Jamaica, New York, to minister at Prayer Praise Tabernacle, pastored by Pastor Joseph Danny. I had the privilege of being with him and his family, his wife Sabina, his daughter Samina, and did I pronounce that correctly? Yeah, and Jonathan and Charles, and minister to his beloved church. It's a great church, and he is a longtime wonderful friend. Now, many of you may remember when he was here, and it's quite a number of years ago. We were at Swansonville, and we were talking about making a purchase of a property and of a facility. And Pastor Joseph stood up, and he ceded that. He said, I'll give $1,000. And he led us in response. And before maybe 10 minutes was done, we had raised, as a very small congregation, $17,000. For a purchase, and we are here in this place. We have since purchased property down on the four-way corner, you know, and he's just been involved and instrumental in praying for you, thinking about you, and we have great fellowship together whenever we can get together. The Lord prompted him to get on a plane, come all the way over from New York to be here this weekend, and we are grateful that he is. Let's welcome Pastor Joseph Danny as he comes.
Praise the Lord. You've been doing this so often, you know exactly where everything goes. It's so good to be here. And to fellowship with you. And before I start going to anything, the main reason I'm here is because there's those two lovely people sitting over there. And that's the reason I'm here, and I'll just give you a little history of it. As a Christian, I never knew I was called to be a preacher, but the Lord has placed in the heart of Carl Barden and Sherry Barden, and when they saw me, just like Samuel saw David, and it says, you know, these fellows will not be the preacher, but David, where is he? He is in a sheep pen somewhere.
Yeah.
And Carl lay hands on me and says, the Lord has called you to preach. I thought him and Sherry lost their mind. And not knowing all of it, they saw into the Spirit of God. And I don't even have a clue what to preach. But the Lord has begun to reveal and brought revelation and associate you with people and begin to open His Word to you. And that's where my journey started. And then start pastoring a church and then get involved in other churches and then get involved in nations and then get involved in countries. 2 years or 3 years ago, I came back from South Africa and Zimbabwe, and I was telling them I had the opportunity to sit with right underneath the tent with President Mugabe. Shook his hand and be around him. My wife was with me, and she was on TV all the time because she was clear skinned. She looks a little white, so that the camera was only picking her up all the time. And meanwhile, I was a speaker and doesn't have any kind of attention, but I was all right. Yeah, she's. That's the reason I'm here, for Carl and Sherry and Barton, to spend that time, because they have meant so much to me. They mightn't think of it, But from that day on, I, in my weakness and my strength, when I pray, Lord, I thank you for those people that really led me into where you're at, because I don't even know where I would be. If you don't fulfill God, then you are just a wanderer in the planet.
That's true.
I would be wandering, doing something. I don't know what, but I would be doing it. But they direct me back to what I should be doing. And I'm privileged. It meant a lot to me, Carl, Sherry, that I found it. And in my quest after that, I have led many to now finding him. That's tremendous. And in the midst of that, there was your pastor, who is Kevin Hunter. Tremendous man. Carl has assigned him after we signed up, and he says, if you have any problem, how many know he's a problem burden guy? Just call him. Any question, just call him. And Kevin was there all the time. Now, Kevin is not only a friend, he's my brother in the Lord. He's my older brother because he knew Carl before me. So Carl has two sons, maybe many more sons that I know of. But he was the oldest. And I just came. But tremendous man. Very loving. I mean, can't find more love than that. Soft. And what a presence he have created with all of you in worshiping. See, I'm used to the hoop and hollering and jump and drums and everything else, bass hitting and... But there is a flavor of an atmosphere here. You guys did well.
Hallelujah.
Give God a clap offering for yourself. You did well. And I said to myself, Lord, why am I here? Look at this, but I'm feeling the presence of God.
Amen.
That's the main reason. And then God have other reasons why he have you here too. We may have a reason, but then he has other reasons. And I'll be able, if I will talk to you a little, not preach to you, I want to share a couple things to you, and then I think I have some things I want to say. But before I go on, greetings from our church, from Prayer Praise Tabernacle in New York, Queens. So if you're in New York sometime, give us a call. We'd love to have you, and that's where we're at. And my wife sent her love, which is me. I was right. I wanted to tell Carl. She says, make sure you greet Carl and Sherry for me. So I said, okay, I will. But sometimes you get talking and you don't forget what you say. So I sat down this morning and I was writing down. I thought, I make sure I put that on paper. Greet Carl. Tell Carl and Sherry that Sabina sent. And the kids. They remember him. Jonathan was so proud. He says, Carl was sleeping in my bed. And then he turns around and says, Dad, I have most of the powerful men sleep in my bed. Kids are thinking strange things. I have prophets. I have teachers. I have apostles. I was like, wow, this boy is thinking beyond what I'm thinking. Yeah, so he's just soaking up the anointing, I guess. And then at least I must say this. I was getting ready, and I always get ready like this to go to church and preach and stand before the saints. And in my own kind of thing, I will say to myself, Lord, if I don't preach good, at least let me look good. So I make sure I pick nice shirts, tie, and... So I said, Lord, if I don't preach good, at least let me look good. So Mama was laughing at me last night. I was ironing my clothes, and she told me this morning, you did a great job. I love the way you iron. And So I'm so glad to be with you, and I trust the Lord will say something to you and really encourage you. I heard the word from my brother and Carl. And I was kind of contemplating, Lord, what to say? But when I heard the word from them, the Lord said, do not hold back. Just speak it. So sometimes you calculate what you should say. But the Lord has to just bring that to just tell me, you better speak my word. Because I got tons of things to say, and I'm contemplating what to say. And so after I heard, that's an excellent word, a challenge to people to move on to what God is saying to us. And we're living in some very strange times. And it doesn't mean for some people, it means for everybody. And what I want to say to us today, that sometimes we don't understand fully what God is doing and what He's really saying to us. And we're used to so many things, we kind of box Him in what we think He should say and how we should say. So I want us to space out a little tension with me, and I will just move on to this word, and then we'll share. Let's pray if we can. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Father, we thank You for Your word that You have placed in my heart, and as I'll share it to Your saints, Your sons, Your daughters, these are here in this area, this region. I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit will move upon them and quicken them to the things You want to say. Bring clarity and encouragement. And let them even see clearer Your ultimate purpose for them in this region. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to say to you that before the Lord will do anything, He always reveals it to His prophets. How many heard Pastor Sherry and Kevin talk about prophets revealing some things? There is nothing the Lord does without first revealing to His servants and His prophets. And He has to do that. Now, I want to show you a couple of scriptures. I want you to stay with me and just follow through, because I'm going to be able to reveal to you how the Lord works and why. This time we are in, how we must use this time to accomplish all that the Lord has for us. And in the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2, I want you to look at it. But when you find it, say amen, so I don't have to go ahead too fast. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. If you find it, say it, big amen.
Amen.
So you know you're with me. If you don't say amen, I think you're not with me. Don't say amen twice, meaning you're speaking for the other person. I think we can move on. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clan of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel. Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
Whose origin are from of old and from ancient time. So here is a prophet speaking the word of God, and he saw in the spirit, and he's relating it in the natural. This is a prophecy for a city. And much time, how many of you know in much time we are used to personal prophecy?
Sure.
We don't use the prophecy for city and region and town and country and nations. How many of you always love personal prophecy? We all do. If a prophet comes around, you just want him to prophesy over you. But here's a prophet prophesying over a region.
That's right.
And he's declaring the word. I believe there's prophetic word over these regions. And this place. I love this place. For me, it's like paradise where I come from. Because all I face is concrete buildings. If you see a tree, you thank God. I'm seeing trees upon trees, and it's green. And I don't want to go home. So I said, I'm going to appeal to the people. If any of you have extra land and house, make sure you put my name on it. Hey, that's the way to go. It's lovely. You don't know. The Lord says He will give you a house you never build.
There you go.
And land and vineyard you never even planted. So when I see this land, it says, Lord, I want to put my stake down. So if you speak in your heart, don't refuse Him. Just make sure my name is there. And so the prophet will speak in the city, nation, continent, and the whole earth. And Micah was one of them. And this was a particular prophecy, and it will affect nation, and it will affect Israel. And he said to Bethlehem, who was the least of the city of Judah, but out of you shall come forth to me, and who will deliver a Savior, who is going forth from everlasting to everlasting. What a prophecy. And a Messiah was going to be coming out of Bethlehem. But when the time passes, eventually that prophet died. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
He spoke the word, but then he died. And the word was there, but the prophet was no longer there. He's gone. And no more. And then came a time. This prophecy had to come to pass. And Jesus was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Yes? The prophet said it. But now Jesus was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. But God sent an angel to Gabriel, and which goes into the wrong direction. And the angel went into where? Nazareth. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I want you to stay very close. It's very interesting what I'm going to say to you. And speak to a virgin named Mary, and said that you shall conceive by the Holy Spirit, and you shall call this child Jesus. Then Mary and Joseph got married in Nazareth. But the prophet says, what? Bethlehem. Yes?
Yeah.
Stay with me, because this is, we need to understand prophetic writings and understand the scriptures. The pregnancy begins. It grows 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. And about a few days before the labor pain begins, God energizes an emperor.
That's right.
And this emperor makes a decree.
Right on.
What a powerful thing. I just want you to hear how God works. I mean, sometimes we don't pay attention how God works.
Right.
We just want to pay attention to how we think it should work. Because we want him our way. But when you spend time with God, you kind of understand how he works. And then the emperor, this emperor, how many of you know he has no Bible?
Right. That's right.
How many of you know he didn't ever attend church?
That's right.
How many of you know he wasn't born again?
Right.
He does not know once upon a time there was a prophet who said these things. Who prophesied these words. The emperor doesn't even know Mary. Doesn't even know Joseph. But God knew what he has spoken.
There you go.
That's powerful. We cannot change. I was telling Kevin and Mama the other day. I says, the word of the Lord is this. Everything in here. You can either accept it or reject it. But you dare not change it.
That's it.
It will forever accomplish what it says.
That's it.
How many of us reject it? Don't say anything. How many have accepted? Say hallelujah. So the prophet has spoken. Now let me tell you something there. There are certain purposes of God that cannot be fulfilled through a lovely ministry, a church ministry, or a lovely pastor.
Yep.
Or an evangelist. There are certain things that God will require somebody who does not think like us or think like you in order to do what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's powerful.
That's true.
Here is Caesar. He don't think about God. He not anything about God. He doesn't even understand God. But God is using him to fulfill God.
There you go.
But sometimes we already calculated how God must move, how God must think, how God must work. Now this emperor, Caesar, Augustus, and you all read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, you will read Caesar Augustus make this great decree. How many know a decree is an irreversible command or whatever it says? It's non-negotiable.
Right.
And he says there shall be a census in collecting of taxes. And so each one has to pay taxes in their own city. So Joseph had to get himself a donkey and take his wife to Bethlehem, the city of David. How many know that ride was very uncomfortable? How many prophetic word can be very uncomfortable? But a lot of people don't like when prophetic word is uncomfortable. We just wanted to be nice. So here, they're on the journey, but it's an uncomfortable ride. And Mary and Joseph, but they had to do it. How many of you, they had to do it? How many of you have to do it? It may not be the most excellent ride, but you have to do it. Because you will fulfill prophecies. So this decree was fulfilling God's word. God's. Now, just as they arrived in Bethlehem, they were very angry. Joseph was trying to book a room in an inn. How many remember the story? And there was no inn. And there was another prophet again who said, also prophesied, that the Messiah will be also born in a certain place in a certain region. Yes? You see, all these things were happening prophetically and they're being fulfilled. So eventually, that prophecy get fulfilled. Also, and eventually, they got into a manger and Jesus was born in the right place, right city, right time, according to the word and according to the fulfillment of Micah the prophet. What a way the Lord just orchestrated the whole thing. Many of you have prophecy here and will want it to be fulfilled under the best circumstances. But can I alert you that some of those prophecy will be fulfilled under chaos and chaotic fulfillments? How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
It's not a good amen. The face look, what do you say? It's not a smile with amen. It's a good amen. Now let's look at the second part of it. It's fulfillments of nation project. God was working with a bigger picture in all of this. Your individual word and whatever covers and the Sunday sermon and everywhere God was saying, God was working something else. He also has some people outside of the church, and in this case he has Caesar Augustus who is participating in this movement and fulfilling what he wants to do. How many know if a pastor would have counseled Joseph and Mary about the prophecy of the bird, they would not listen? How many, Pastor Kevin, grab you with your prophetic word and says, you know, I have to tell you that is the word of the Lord. And this is how it's going to happen. How many of you will not listen, period? How many Joseph and Mary would not listen? So what God had to do, had to get somebody outside of their surrounding, outside of their listening, outside of their believing, and make him make a decree and force them to do it.
Yeah.
Are you seeing how God works?
Powerful.
Yes?
Yeah.
That's why God has to use an outsider to speak to these people like Caesar. They cannot disobey him. How many, if you disobey Caesar, he cut your head off?
Yeah.
Are you put in your jail forever? But prophecy is getting fulfilled. The word of the Lord is getting fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now everybody in the church believe one day the church will be the church and the entire thing we read about will come to pass. We all believe that. And we're excited about it. Now under what circumstances does this happen? It's happened to restore the nation. And so what I want to talk to you a little, I say all of that, is to understand the time and the season we're living in. So stay with me. I don't know how long I have. I'll do my best. I usually take a couple of weeks to do this. So I'll take, you just give me the sign, Kevin, and then we'll close. Let me see, I was off 2 weeks here. We can move in. We have a lot of space here. Is this good so far?
Yes, sir.
Let's turn to our Bible in Daniel chapter 9. I want you to read. I don't want to read the whole thing, just for time's sake. But I want you to read it. Promise me you'll read it.
Yes.
9 from 1 to verse 25. But I want to focus on verse 25. Daniel was praying and fasting, and he said that he was praying for the city and his people. And Daniel was in captivity. He's praying for the city and his people, and the man was in captivity. Now, while he was praying in this 3 weeks of long prayer meeting, God began to tell him and to inform him about the environment and the circumstances that he's in, and of which that he is going to restore the place. So in verse 25, I want you to look at one verse with me. Verse 25. And the latter part of it. Somebody read it out very loud.
The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome time. Even in troublesome time.
Are you seeing that? I mean, God is building in troublesome times? How many, that don't sound like Christians, that sound like church, or that sound like Bible? Because we never see God work in troublesome times. We just see God working in good times. But here's Daniel having the revelation, and God is communicating to this man, this is how I work. I work in troublesome times. You see, when we see trouble, we must see more God. Don't see less God. You know, Christians, when they see trouble, they see less God, more enemy.
Yeah.
But Daniel, with revelation from the Lord, he saw what?
More God.
More God and less what's surrounding him.
Exactly.
Can I change that in you today?
Excellent.
See more God?
Yes.
In times of trouble, how many know this country is troubled?
Yeah,
I mean, we're troubled with all kinds of trouble, and we don't even want to go into the troubles, trust me. Because we'll spend a whole another 2 weeks to talk about troubles.
Yeah.
How many of we have to see more God in the trouble?
Amen.
And less enemy.
Amen.
I'm not looking at what... I'm just sorry what God will do to them.
Yes.
We've got to look differently. Now I got a question. Why didn't God just tell Mary and Joseph that they will have to relocate? And that was a hard relocation time for them. I mean, the woman was pregnant. Got to be dragging from one. I mean, that's not a good time for a woman to travel. And God is a harsh God. What do you think? I mean, he's not considerate to do this injustice to poor Mary. Are you still with me? Am I in the right track? Am I helping you thinking? Yeah, so he why didn't he tell her? But instead, he creates a mass relocation program, operation for everybody. God just did that. If God would have told them they would relocate when this prophecy word will come, how many nobody would have signed up with him? Everybody would tell God, I don't want to be in your program. I quit. But the Lord just draw them all in, get them all together, and then the Lord work with Augustus and the side and create this relocating problem. I mean, if Pastor Kevin created a relocating problem, all of you would stone him. So you have to get somebody outside. I just want you to see how God thinks. How God is working. So, he's amazing. This was very discomfort for many homes and family. I mean, God, why didn't you think of that? I'm stressing this so you can begin to understand God. Understand God. Understand. When you're going through distress and things, understand God. Because it's not the first time he's beginning to do this. He'd done this before.
That's right.
If you stay in your word and read your Bible and you pray, you'll understand God. What we have done as preachers and teachers, we tell everybody all the goodies about God. We never tell them anything about God else.
Right. Right.
So if someone say something outside of the box, then he's not a good preacher. And surely ain't going back to his meeting.
Yeah.
Am I good?
Yeah.
Yes. How many heard something like what I'm saying here? See this? Mom and Pop, good. I got two supporters. Now he comes to Daniel and he gives Daniel revelation in Daniel's prayer time. Daniel spent time and he tells him in his time of praying together, this is what I will do. How many knew in the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2:42, that's what I usually do. The brothers come together and they will pray and seek God and God will tell them what to do.
Yeah.
How many today you can't get brothers to come together and pray?
Yeah.
And find anyone's. How many love prayer meeting? Raise your hand.
Yes.
I mean, those meetings, you'll find God will tell you what to do and how to move. It's sad today we call prayer meeting. You're lucky if you have five or four. I'm talking about our prayer meeting, not yours. And if they do come, they always come with a list of needs.
Sure.
So the whole thing must swing now and pray for their needs.
Sure.
And it's amazing what's taking place. But Daniel was before the Lord, a new church, the apostles were before the Lord, and they seek God, and God will give them direction. How many know we can do the same?
Excellent.
How many like direction from the Lord?
Amen.
Get into prayer meetings.
Hallelujah.
Get into where you can find Him, and He will speak and bring revelation to you. Now, when he comes to Nehemiah, who is another brother here, and his building program, there was all kinds of profit and problems. He encountered all kinds of things. It was in opposition of him and among the Jews. It was not just strange people, but even under those circumstances that he faces, how many know he was able to rebuild the walls?
Yep.
In circumstances, in problems, he rebuilt the wall. You see how God is moving? He put some strain. He put some problems. He put some things. And then the people who believe him, and he accomplishes what he has to do. Let's look at another prophet quickly, which I want you to understand. God is doing in circumstances in these times. And he's reconstructing in this time. He's rebuilding. And this is a time for us as we understand that all these troubles and all things are facing the world and the nation. How many of you know this is not the time for us to be postponing anything? Based on what I'm just saying. This is not the time for us to postponing our rebuilding. This is not our time to be postponing our time of gathering.
Yeah, right.
I mean, in their time of chaos, they were building and they were moving on. Don't postpone your life.
It's good.
You know, if a preacher comes in here and says, oh, this place here is a retirement community.
Yeah.
I don't want to preach here. You're going to be preaching to retired people.
How many, your life is not over? That's right.
Life is not over. How many of you know the Lord says when it's over? How many of you know He knows the beginning from the end?
That's right.
You don't put your climax into Him.
That's
the Bible says this. He says He knew you before the foundation of the earth.
Right.
He even knew you when you were in your mother's womb.
That's right.
That's how much He knew you. And the scripture in the Psalms said, in fact, He saw your skeleton. There were skeletons spinning in a rock up there, and He knows, I'm going to pick this skeleton rock today. This is Kevin. I'm going to put some meat in him and send him down on the earth. How many knows him? He even know you're a skeleton. What a God. So you're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. What a God. Don't postpone your life because of inflation. And government failure and economic failures and all the failures are taking place. Then I said the world is coming to an end. The Lord is having a world without end. Don't bring God's plan to an end. You're not God.
That's right.
You're part of God's plan. He didn't call you to plan it for Him. He called you to be in it. So Jeremiah, this prophet, begins to prophesy. And I want you to look at it quickly. I'm going to read it through. But if you can find it, Jeremiah 29 and verse 4-9, he says, this is what the Lord God Almighty says, the God of Israel. Say to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what you must say to them. Build houses. These people are in exile. These people are in a tormented time. These people was captured. These people were placed in a place in Babylon.
Right.
And the prophet is speaking to them. He says, build houses. Verse 5. Settle down. Plant gardens. How many like to plant gardens? I'm fulfilling one part of the prophecy. Plant gardens. What else? Eat what you produce. They produce. Verse 6. marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters to marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Am I good so far? These people are in exile, and the prophet is speaking to them. What a messed up prophet.
Good.
Also, seek the peace and prosperity of that city which I have carried you into exile. What you must do? Seek the peace. Listen, this area here, the only peace they will have from you.
That's right.
They can't get no peace. Because you're going to be the ones who are seeking it.
How many
know? How many times you know that law enforcement is trying to have some peace and it looks like it's been getting bigger?
Yeah.
He can't. How many of you have to do that?
That's right.
Seek the peace. Pray the Lord for it because, and you will prosper. You will prosper. Verse 8. For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, said. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. And verse 9 says, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declare the Lord. In other words, if you're not fulfilling what God is saying and listening to something else, you are listening to some strange voices. In this hardship, if you're not doing nothing in this hardship, how many of you know you're listening to some strange voices? How many are doing stuff in this church? Raise your hand. I don't raise it. You might be in trouble. How many are building? How many are giving? How many are serving? How many are believing that this is what God is doing?
Good.
I told you, the Lord said, do not hold back. Just get it out.
Good.
Now, where the Jews have already been captured and have been in captivity for Babylon, now he writes a letter to the Jews that were in Babylon. Do not wait for the rapture. Do something.
That's it.
Get involved. If you can't have children, encourage your children to have children. That's what it says. If they're not married yet, tell them to get married. Is that in your word? You're pushing it because you're fulfilling prophecies. Now, God allowed them to be carried away even though they want to protest it. How many of you not like what God is doing and you want to protest it? God still allowed them to be carried away.
Yeah, right.
God is saying, you're going to be going into exile. Guys, all of you here are going to be going into exile. How many people protested? God, this is not fair. I don't want this. I'm not in agreement. Thank God he didn't ask you for your agreement. Because we'll have a lot of agrees and disagrees. He just dragged you into it. So God anointed Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar then took them captive. And God knew they cannot disobey God or that, and Nebuchadnezzar. So he went, he forcibly grabbed him, take him away. Now these people are saying that we cannot do anything. And things are tough and impossible. Where they're at, in Babylon. How many of you think all over this land is tough and impossible?
Sure.
But I don't want you to listen to that thing. You got to listen to the thing the Lord is saying. Build house. Plant vineyards. Have children. Move on with my program.
Good.
Don't worry about that program. Leave that program alone. I'm God. I'm in charge of this thing. Not the president. Not those who are just blowing their mouths or whatever they read in textbook or wherever they get it.
Good.
It's my book that is the laws of the land.
Right.
And the laws of everyone. Prophet is saying, thus said the Lord, do not postpone your life. Look at somebody and say, my life is not over yet.
My life is, my life is
Don't be afraid. Look at him and tell him. Do not postpone life. Plant vineyard, take wives, get sons for your sons also and your daughters, and increase. Do not diminish. Increase. How many know what God has given us must increase?
That's right.
Do not diminish. And how does it increase? Because we are the one who are promoting it. We are the one who's pushing it. We are the one who's seeing it. No, this place should be full if we're all pushing it.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We will knock the doors, pull along the doors, pull the house, whatever we have to do. And the Lord will give you the strength to do it. Pray. Then he told them, seek the peace of the city where they have carried you away to be captain. Pray for it. How many are praying for the city? God move. How many? They will have peace. Now these people were in exile. These people were in hardship. These people were in Babylon. Do you know trouble can deceive a nation?
Yeah.
Do you know our nation today is deceived?
Yes. Right.
Why? Because there is trouble. Let me tell you. Take for example the nation of Japan. How many know the country Japan? They rose up in the time of trouble. And the nation of Korea. They also rose up in the time of trouble. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Any historian here? Anybody reading in the newspaper or the book? You must remember those nations were destroyed.
That's right.
Totally destroyed during the war. They were nothing. Nothing. And they rose up. Now Japan is a mass producing country of technology and their cars and new things birthed out. Germany and all those countries. Let me tell you something else. If you allow these trouble that we are going through to pass and do not do nothing or come out with what God wants us to do, how many of you know that the Lord have to create another trouble for you? Look at somebody and say, ouch. If we have this trouble and we are not doing nothing, we're not praying, we're not sticking together, we're not supportive, we're not hearing what God is saying in this trouble, how many know it will over and gone? But the Lord, if you're still alive, have to create another trouble for you. Because I just show you all the scriptures. How the Lord works.
Yes.
So you get yourself busy. He will have to create this whole opportunity again for you to function. Once upon a time in Japan there was problem and with other countries. And they divided and they created devices. And they went into all kind of nuclear powers. Energy. How many in that kind of trouble? Scientists emerge. Engineers emerge. Isn't that right? Wise men came out of that struggle. Here in our country, there is struggle for gasoline. How many know the struggle? How many out of that emerge guys with engineering concept and ideas how to create electric cars? Trouble make that happen. It just come up like that. And now they're perfecting it from electric car. Instead of battery giving you 4 years and 1 year and 10 years, you get 12 years now. Or 10, whatever it is. They're perfecting. Trouble has created that.
Sure.
We have gone further in troubles in electronic devices. Yeah, I think right in your state, Seattle, we have the Apple product. Isn't that right? Yeah, we gone from iPad to mini iPad. I see mom scrolling down with her mini iPad. We gone from solar powers and all kind of stuff and more electronic devices. How many in a lot of struggle? Power. Where are our inventors? That's their inventors. Where is ours? Where's the church inventors? Where is our scientist? We are total dependent. Independency. I was told by a brother of mine, he says that if Egypt would close down, the church, if the brothers put it this way, he says, if Egypt closed down, then the church must also close down. Because we are in total dependency on Egypt. Think about it. Because we're not doing nothing. We're not thinking anything. We're not building anything. You know, I come up from New York, and my New York kind of neighbors, how many know the Hasidic Jews? Do you know they have their own school? Their own hospitals? Their own bakery? Their own ambulance service. If one of their Jewish brother got into an accident or anything, you dare not touch it with any other hospital. They come with their own private and pick him up and treat them. Wow. I mean, I'm not saying something to you that's new. I'm not saying that's not happening. They have their own grocery. They have their own manufacturing, their own store, and they employ their own people. They have their own bank. In fact, they're buying their own most of the real estate in New York. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Where are we?
Sleep.
Can I say our best must come out now?
Yes, indeed. Amen.
Now is your time. Your best must come out now. In the time of crisis, in the time of this struggle and pressure. Now, when God was doing these things, He was doing it in mind for the good of His people. He wasn't doing any good of the ungodly. He was doing any good for His people. Not for the bad. But it looks like throughout history in our time, we get the worst end of it. And scripturally, that's not so. How many Daniel missions succeed? How many Nehemiah plan fulfilled? And each one of them that had their task, they became very successful, and they were accomplished what God has used them to do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I will say this to you. God is not concerned about our comfort.
That's right.
He's concerned about a greater destiny for you and for the nations. If God was concerned about comfort, then Joseph, how many of you know Joseph? He would have not allowed him to go to jail. If God was worrying about comfort, our comfort only, He would have not allowed Joseph to go to jail.
That's right.
Why did He allow Joseph to go through all these things? That you will expect a better end. Why would God allow you to go through some of the things we are going through that you will have a better end?
Good.
Your end will be better than everybody else in the earth. Because we are of Him. And He's Almighty. He's God.
That's right.
He owns everything. And everything He owns is mine. Don't judge your destiny based on events. And don't throw off an event that discomforts you. And an event even that provoke you. Or deprive you. But you know what? That could be a luxury right at your doorstep. Oh, God, help us. Now, Joseph, when he got his first son, listen to this man, it's very interesting. He named his first son, what? Manasseh. Do you know what that word means? For he said, I have forgotten all my afflictions. What a man. Hallelujah. Then he uses the affliction. You know, he don't use his affliction to afflict himself. How many of us use affliction to afflict ourselves? But he used affliction and he turns around and says, God abuses this. And I name something and says, God has removed that from me. But he uses the affliction to promote God in him. Are you hearing me today, church? Can we change some things? God, some things are not going the way I want it to go. But I'm going to use it to promote myself in you. Based on the principle I'm showing you in what Joseph did. God causes him to forget all his affliction. Not some, I mean all. You know, I'll tell you this much, and you will read this in your Bible. When God was dealing with the children of Israel, he's taking them out of Egypt to the wilderness, and then he has to cross them over into the promised land. I heard today's Pentecost. Yes. Pentecost Day. Now that is a second feast. Yes? Good? And at that time when God was crossing over, they have to cross over the Jordan. And they crossed over and they came to a place called Gilgal. Do you know what the word Gilgal means? Rolling away. God was rolling away all their reproaches and shame and disgrace. All their affliction, all their hardship. God was rolling it away. Because they are going into a new phase now.
That's right.
How many like to roll away some shame?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many you like to roll away some hardship?
Yeah.
How many want to think about some things that you've been carrying? Lord, I want it out of me. Get it out of me. Roll it away. And it happened at Pentecost. How many Lord can do that today, right now? He can roll away some things from you. And that day when he rolled away from them, then he gave them his spirit. And they all do not see themselves being ashamed anymore. And they begin to prophesy and speak about God and glorify him in the stone and worship God Almighty. They weren't in hiding. They weren't in places that they're ashamed of themselves, but they boldly speak about God.
Amen.
Pentecost.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I want to run through this. I told you it take me 2 weeks or more to do this. I'm just... You'll find that in Genesis 41 and verse 51 and 52 about Joseph naming his son. And so the second son, he called him Ephraim. And he says, God has made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Oh, God.
That's great.
You see, we might be afflicted. But it's not to put you down or knock you out. It's to allow you to be fruitful. Are you there?
You bet.
In that very environment, not all going to be barrenness. Not all is going to be empty. It will be fruitfulness for us. Joseph uses his two sons. And he named them after all that God was doing. Because he says this. He began to say, God has. Which means, he was. He was. But now God has done something in his life. He's now totally dependent on God. He's not dependent on his affliction. He's not dependent on what happened through him. He's now dependent on God. God has allowed me through all of this. What a mighty God we serve.
Yes,
amen. And this is one of the things we have become as a nation. And if we will become a nation, I believe the Lord has to become, we have to be broken.
Yeah.
And we are getting there.
Yes, we are.
The Lord is breaking us down. And as an apostle, as a leader, as one who God's called to see, because you have to spend time in the Spirit and pray and see God. And either we join the bandwagon and complain with all those who are complaining, or we get into what I'm saying and begin to see the hand of God move some things differently. So when we come out of what's going on, we do not beat our chest and say, we do it. We did it. We must say, God did it. Many times we come out and say, we did it. You know, I have overcome. I know how to serve, but you guys don't know. You know, some Christian among the Christians will say that. But we all come out and say, God did it. And then we all come out and say, we forgot all our tile. We know He's able. When we are able to come out, we must be able to say, God has blessed us. How many can say that?
Yes.
When we'll come out, we'll say, God has blessed us in this season. When we were meant to be afflicted, when we were meant to go through hardship, God bless me. You know, I came from a poor family. I don't know if I tell you, but those who remember the first time I'm here, I came from British Guyana, South America. Might look like Indian from India, but I'm not. And under the British system, you grew up very, you know, we were like in the middle class somewhere. You're very poor. Your parents could hardly get you shoes. And so I understand affliction. I understand how things are. But when I see scriptures, and I appreciate what God is doing. So I can preach out of it too, and I can talk about it. So I can say, in my affliction, in this season, we can say, God has blessed us. I got my mama in church every week, she stand up. Sometimes I tell her, don't you tired saying the same thing? I thank the Lord for blessing me and for keeping me and providing for me. Every week she can say the same thing because I know what this woman is speaking out of. She had nothing. If all she can say every week, every time you say there's an opening to speak, she says the same thing and everybody knows she will say the same thing every week. But she says it. I thank the Lord with boldness, with strength. He has blessed me. I never have, now I have. And I have and I can give. And she's proud about it. How many all of us can be that? He has blessed us. It meant to be afflicted, but He has blessed us. What a God. Let's look at another principle. In Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel were coming out of bondage. And it was not happening in the best of time. And the Word of God says, in that night, not in the morning, not day, not noon, but in that night, I will judge the gods in Egypt. I will destroy the firstborn. And you shall come out. You see, some people are waiting for a particular day. But God specifically say at the nighttime. He could have said in the day, in the morning. But He said at nighttime. While they are sleeping, and sometimes while you were sleeping, God is dealing with the gods. That's what in Scripture. How many know we have to do our part?
Right.
And how many know the Lord is doing His part?
Amen.
Aaron had to do his part. Moses had to do his part. But while they were doing their part before Pharaoh, God was doing His part with the gods. He was destroying them.
Excellent.
You see, when God is busy doing something in the night, others, while He was doing that, He was making ways for others to come out, to escape, to get out. Don't ever think God is not, you know, there's not a time, let me say this, and if you're writing, keep this, and write it and keep it. He's always in control. It's my God. You might think He's not. You might think He's not doing anything. What are you seeing it going on? He's always in control. And so in this example, when they came out of Egypt, they reached the Red Sea. Always knowing the reality of people when they reach a problem. They reach one now, a Red Sea. You always know that. Are a people in a place of problem. And so the Red Sea was in front of them, and the army of Egypt was behind them, and they were in the middle. Correct?
Right.
So they began to curse Moses. How many curse their pastor? Don't raise your hand. Kevin, that nincompoop, he don't know what he's doing. He don't have a clue where the church is going. You know, he stand there as a man of God. But God, I know more than him. I can lead him. I can show him some scripture he doesn't even know what I know. No, he didn't tell me anything, so don't go after him and say this. And right, they're starting to curse Moses, and they were looking for transportation to go back to Egypt. How many knew when problem hits you sometime, you have a sorry you serve God? You have a sorry you even signed up. You said you'd rather be better off in Egypt than being all this kind of stuff. Especially when you look and see all the Egyptians are going through the things you are going through. You know, many times in my own life, sometimes I look and I'll repent and cry before the Lord and say, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't party. I don't do anything wrong. I'm trying to live righteous and godly. And the ungodly, I don't know where they have the strength. They have no complication. They have no God. And I'm having all the complication physically, emotionally, and financially. And these people have no problem. Sometimes I go on nagging. And one day I was driving and I'm nagging, Lord, you know, please, Lord, aren't you seeing this? And the Lord says, shut up. You're just talking. Why don't you listen to what I'm saying now? Let me talk now. You know, sometimes we just talk, complain. And the Lord says, and you know, the Lord began to speak. I realized I was wrong. I realize I messed up. Sometimes I don't speak much now. I just stay quiet and listen. So, Lord, what'd you say? Whatever it is, I'll have to do because I know most of what I say is wrong. And He will forgive you. Now, God did something when the time to escape for them, God was in control. He was watching. And when the time for breakthrough come, God does things that do not look like things that good is coming out of it. So here God is in the work now in the sea. What happens there? An angel of the Lord moved ahead of the children of Israel and came between them and the armies of Pharaoh. What a God. He sent an angel. And when the angel moved, came between them, the Bible says, came a cloud, a pillar of cloud come between them. And the cloud was very mysterious. Because on one side of the cloud, there was a dark side of it. And one side was a bright side.
Right.
What a God.
Yeah.
Is that in your Bible? Yes. So He's sending light on one side. And the other side is those who were supposed to cross was in darkness. So it was a cloud. And that's in Exodus chapter 14 from verse 10 to 21. Which means if you are at the... Ask the people who are really going through. They will clearly say exactly what they were going through. We'll tell you this. Do you know that those who are in front of what's happening have a better view than those who are in the back? Can I say to those who are lagging in the back, you better get in front.
Amen.
Because the view is different. They saw the sea open up. They didn't hear about it. Nobody gave them any information. They saw the power of God move. And they believe God.
That's right.
And after you see God like that, you'll never want to be in the back row again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
How many of you can say, I'm tired hearing what God did? Begin to hear, I see Him.
Yeah.
I saw Him open the sea. Praise the Lord. You know, too long to have some Christians, you know. And that's what the ones who are hearing, after a while, the hearing goes. And when the hearing goes, they don't go anymore. That's it. But be the one. Those on the front has the best view.
Amen.
How would I like to be in the front view? Raise your hand.
Amen.
I want to be in the front view. Hallelujah. Because one guy will tell you that things are impossible. The other will tell you that the darkness is so thick that you can touch it. You know, hear people tell you, how hard is it to be a Christian? You ever hear that? It's so hard to be a Christian. You got to go to church every Sunday. You got to stay there for 2 hours. You got to go to prayer meeting every Wednesday. You know how hard it is to do that? And so I'm not speaking to these people, not you guys, those are the other church. And the other side is getting ready. You know, one side is getting how hard it is, how dark it is. And the other side is getting up for breakfast. There was light on one side and there was darkness on the other side. There was someone says, calling, Pastor Sherry, are you up? Let's have breakfast. And the other one on the other side says, oh, it's so tired. It's so hard. Life is so gloomy. Things are down. There's two sides of the same circumstances. Are you hearing me, church?
Right.
Be in the right side. It's not a different circumstances. It's the same circumstances, but two sides in it. Now, for the people of God, there is certain circumstances look like crisis. But it has come to take you where you are going. Where you have never gone before. And God wants to enrich your faith and strengthen you. So God brings a supernatural acceleration on them. And that's why the prophet again said, Isaiah chapter 60, many of you know this verse. What it says. Arise and shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is rich. How many hear the word of Papa this morning? What the word say? You forgot.
It's glorious.
It's glorious. I'm seeing the day. I'm seeing God. Arise and shine. For the light has come. Oh God, I heard the word.
Yes.
I heard it. I'm loud, I'm excited, but I heard.
Hallelujah.
Don't get upset with me. Get upset with yourself when you're not excited with me.
Hallelujah.
Papa said it.
True.
And Papa is in circumstances. Yeah. Oh my God, I know some things. Maybe you do too. But he says, I saw the light. I see, arise! Shine!
Yeah.
For the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. Where? Upon us. What a word. This is saying to those who want to hear God, these things I'm speaking to you about for those who want to hear God. I want to hear God. Papa, I heard God today through you. I heard God through you. Arise and shine. The light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, all of you. What it says is that all of and all of you might now rise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And he went on to say, verse 2, for behold, darkness will cover the earth. Our brother was speaking about the earth back there. Deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will rise upon you How many deep darkness will cover those, but the Lord will rise upon you.
Hallelujah.
The glory will upon you. Now all these things will happen at the same time to different people. Some experiencing darkness, but we are experiencing the light. And we are rising up to it.
Yes,
now for the people of God, you need to wake up.
Good.
And begin to believe God.
Good.
You need to wake up and begin to launch the biggest vision that you ever launched.
Good.
You begin to support the missions and the nations as the Lord will use you to open and see. Now is not your time to postpone your calling. Can I say this again? Now is not the time for you to postpone your calling. Now is not your time to postpone your anointing.
Right.
Now is not your time to postpone your mandate and your assignments. You can't postpone your work in this nation now. You can't postpone your work in the church now.
Good.
Now the Lord has called you forward to build and to labor and to see things come forward. Now is not your time to postpone your blessing and your prosperity now. Now is not your time to postpone your inheritance. It is now for you to rise and shine.
Excellent.
For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.
That's it.
Don't focus on the darkness. Don't focus on what's happening on the outside. But focus on what's happening with the Lord.
Yes. Yes, amen.
The darkness is judging the worldly things. And the worldliness. But those who he have got, but the glory is shining upon those who are in the midst of God's situation. If you're somebody who's not hearing God, who do not know what God is doing, you will be among the Egyptian attending what they attend, funeral services. I don't know if this church, but in our churches in New York, some of us are so involved with the funeral services, they don't have time for the church services. Because they're not hearing from God. They'll find time and transportation and everything to find those meetings. But will not find time to be in the prayer meeting and be at church. Now, these are the dangers of missing God. These are the danger of not hearing and understanding the times. Not understanding where God is. The time has come for you to launch your new visions. It has come to believe God for what He could have done. What He's doing in the year through us. And so, in Mark 4 and verse 1, he talks about a sower who went out to sow a seed into the ground. And it happened that it grows itself. The earth began to produce itself. Firstly the blade and then the crop and suddenly the harvest. So I want you to know that there is a breaking in the middle of a time that nobody is taking record of. We must understand the time and the season we're living in. Nobody's taking record of it, but God is doing something. There is a breaking through and there is a people that are breaking through. After you hear my word and what I tell you here, as God sent me to speak to you and you don't do nothing, then you will not be that people. Because God is now, in many places, He will send me to speak this and say it. Together. People like Daniel, Moses, Joseph, people like Samuel, their personal calling will never come to pass until there was a crisis. It was a crisis that opened the door for Joseph. There was a dream which nobody could have interpreted. The dream that brought breakthrough. That's why I challenge the people. God doesn't major in complaining. Get solution. Get answer. Get out of your complaining. Get into the solution of what God is doing. Also, the crisis which distinguishes Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. It was in a crisis. It was a dream nobody could have interpreted. It was during that time. It was during their crisis that Daniel had the revelation to solve their problem. It was also in Moses and his calling. It was during the crisis that Samuel moved, that God graduated him from priest to prophet to judge.
Excellent.
God graduated. How many know God can graduate you?
You bet, yes.
Can I safely say this? In the midst of our crisis, God will rise up new businesses, new plans, new success stories for all of you, right here. So don't use the situation for blaming this and blaming that. Let the Lord give you this revelation and the blessing of what He's doing. Look for the doors the Lord is opening for you. He has given us the keys to bind and loose. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose in the name of Jesus. In fact, I will say this about me. If there is no crisis, then I will not be preaching this message. So I'll preach about something else. And even prophesying over you. Thank God for the crisis. Thank God for the people that He has placed in the crisis. You are not the wrong people. For He knows the season and the time He has placed you in it. Can you applaud yourself and say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes we don't see ourselves. How many people know that how many know of angry and frustrated people? Stressed out. How many don't join them? Give them solution and answer. They will come. Let me close by saying this. I tell you I'm going through some things quick because Pastor Kevin is giving me the signs.
No.
I'm just kidding. And this is very... How many of you know if there is an accident out there right now? People will behave different. They will hold their backs or back of their heads and they will say, oh my God, what do I do? Some will be screaming. Some will be running with their cell phone, taking pictures and doing all manner of things. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
With a camera. Some will pick their children up and running away from the scene. But if the fireman comes and the policeman comes, how many of them will get started on their duty? They know what to do. Some situation, different reaction, depending on your mandate, depending on who you are. Are you hearing me? Now I believe this is the time for the church. Your office is needed now. Your wisdom is needed now. Your financial support is needed now. I didn't get a good amen in that one.
Amen.
It's not your time to join the hopeless.
That's right.
It is not the time to join the ungodly. It is time to put our resources and our strength together. This is our time.
That's good.
To render in the solutions and the answers. And bringing words and wisdom of deliverance to the people that is in the land. For we serve a God who knows everything.
Yes, He does.
We serve a God that can do anything. This is our time.
Good.
I don't want to read all the rest of it. This is your time to start churches.
Good.
This is your time to lead people to the kingdom. This is your time. And this is our time, I want to present to you, to understand the time that you are living in. And God is ushering something. And you are the people that He has selected and planned, place you in the church. And what a time, as such a time, to be in the kingdom of God as now. Many do not understand this, they're moving out of the kingdom. But we who understand it is moving with the kingdom.
That's right.
And fulfilling the mission of God. I want to pray with you. Why don't we stand? I try to stay within my time. I'm doing good, Kevin. Isn't that right? And I want to pray with you as the Lord will lead us. And then I'll hand over to Pastor Kevin. I trust that I was able to deliver to you what God is doing with us, and it's time and season. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for each and everyone that's here. You know them by name. You know them by their calling, their gifts, and everything that you have placed in them. Lord, I pray that you've allowed me to share your word and prophesy it over them. And even the prophetic words that came out to direct us and to stir us up. I pray that this room here will contain in the vessel, Lord, in their voice box, in their ears and in their hearts and their whole life. That the things you want to communicate to us will seal in our hearts. And we'll not only be hearer, but we'll be doer in fulfilling what you're doing in this hour. Strengthen those who need to be strengthened.
Yes,
grant your grace where it's needed, Lord. Your provision and your power. I pray, Lord, as we stand together, we'll stand as a mighty force before you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And we'll be leaving you to great things in our midst.
Yes, Lord.
Even now, Lord, with your power, I pray, God, you'll speak to your people. Continue to fulfill in the way you move, in the vision and in dreams. And they're going out and they're coming in. Open up their eyes, their spiritual eyes. And even now, Lord, as your word go forward, you know every situation and circumstance is here. Why don't you hold hands together? Let's hold hands together. Come, sister. Everybody, hold hands together. So we connect together. Lord, this is your body.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We are many, but you said we are one. And you said in this body, there is virtue. And as we connect, Lord, I declare right now, by the power and authority that's in your name, those who are sick will be healed. Those who are having a hard time in their life and their way of living, Lord, you will deliver them.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Those who are pressed in this world from all kinds of situation, whatever it might be, I pray, God, you will deliver them. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Now as you hold on, I want you to see this flowing through. Flowing through to the body. Healing is flowing through. Deliverance is flowing through.
Yes.
To the body. The body of Christ is holy. It is pure.
Yes, Lord.
There is no defect in it. Christ is the head over the church. His body. Oh, Father, we lift it up before you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I pray, Lord, and any time we need you, even now. Now we pray, Lord, and we demonstrate to principalities and powers and rulers of darkness.
Yes.
Take notice, for this is what will crush you and destroy your work. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of this evil one. I pray, God, that these people will be strengthened this morning, empowered this morning. Lord, even as on a day of Pentecost, and as they've crossed over and they've come to a place, remove our shame, remove our hardship, remove our pain, remove all the things that are causing us to be uneasy and uncomfortable, and make us, oh God, whole.
Yes, Lord.
In your mighty name.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And fill us with your Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Pour it afresh upon us. Pour out your Spirit. Arabashakana, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon them, Lord. Pour your Spirit. Come on, worship the Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour it out. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Amakashakanama. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon them. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon them in the name of Jesus. Baptize them in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Rakarabababashakanama. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit upon them, Lord. Pour out your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rababashikanamareke. Pour out your Spirit on these. Pour out your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit upon them, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Baptize them with your Holy Spirit. Baptize them, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you lift your voice and worship the Lord in the Spirit? Hallelujah! Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many believe God in this room? No, I don't mean that casually. I really want to know how many believe God. We're looking at scenarios of different situations for different people. The preaching of the word came with power, and God breaks yokes. God breaks and brings deliverance, and God sets people free. When I sat in Cheyenne, the Lord gave me a phrase that I needed to speak in this room this morning, and it's very simple. And the pastor began to bring forth the message, and I thought, wow, powerful, total confirmation. The Lord said, I want you to stand in the pulpit this morning. So I better get over here. I want you to stand in the pulpit this morning, and I want you to look at your people, and I want you to say to them, I believe God. As your pastor, I'm here to tell you, I believe God. As your pastor, I'm here to lead you in saying it with me, church, because it's a new day and it's a new hour, and we do have destiny and we do have a calling from God. We need to shake off the yokes. We need to shake off the resistances. People around here don't necessarily want the gospel preached, but that doesn't hold us back at all. The good news is that we've got the good news of Jesus to bring. The good news is that we have a word of deliverance, a word for this hour. Say it with me again. I believe God. Again, I believe God. I believe it shall be as it was told me. I believe the destiny God has given. I believe we shall rise up and build. I believe we will be, we are the people God has called us to be in this hour. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Turn to each other and say to each other, I believe God. Now say it to somebody else. Walk around the room and just keep saying the phrase. I believe God. I believe God. Just keep saying it, church. I believe God. I believe God. Pat, let's do that song if you would. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Amen. Amen. I believe God. Amen. I believe God. Say it with me again. I believe God. Again. I believe God. Now, Pastor Joseph, come stand right in front of us here, please. Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry, gather around. And the rest of the church, come on up. We're going to lay hands on our brother and send him out with more blessing and strength and anointing. He's come to us this morning with blessing, strength, and anointing. He's poured it out. And we're going to send him forth with refreshing and even more. For the calling of God is upon this man. And we thank you for him, Lord. We thank you for the servant of the Lord. Blessed is he who has come to us in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the pouring out of the Spirit that He's done. He's poured His Spirit out to us, and you have spoken things to us, and we're here as a congregation to say this morning, we hear, and we say yes, we respond, and we believe the Word of the Lord. Lord, we believe you. Say it with me. I believe God. We don't refuse it. We say it again. I believe God. Now together, we believe God. We believe God. Now we bless this man of God that you've sent.
We thank you
for him, Lord, for his days are not shortened, but lengthened. His opportunities are not closed, but opened. We thank you, Lord, for the ever-increasing opportunity you're laying before Pastor Joseph. And we pray for his family. We pray for his children who are standing with him in the ministry, even as they grow up older. And Lord, they're taking up a new place of mantle to stand by Dad's side, and his bride, his wife, to stand by his side in more anointing than she's done to this date in the years that she's raised the children. But now they're coming of age where she gets to take her place at her husband's side and minister as the woman of God. Now we release her even more as he returns from this trip. Lord, let him see upon her even a new anointing to take up the role that you've mantled her with. Bless them, Lord Jesus, as a team, as a church, as a family. Now, we bless their church in the name of the Lord as well. Father, that right there in Jamaica, New York, the place of influence will ever expand. Lord, that the church will grow blessing upon blessing, numerically upon numerically. But Lord, I know that's not what this brother's asking for. He's not saying, I demand more people. What he's saying is, we're going to do the destiny. But Lord, at the same time, give him more people to do the destiny with. But around the world, you're increasing the influence. In Jamaica, you're increasing the influence. Now strengthen, bless him, his wife, his children. We bless him in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.